Hare Krishna. I wish you a wonderful good morning. And in this lecture, I would like to address you finally. I'm aware that maybe most of you will be starting traveling after this, after you've heard the lecture and eaten hopefully a little prasadam. Don't forget there are the most famous Goloka Dhams, I will say it in the language of Gaurahari, sandwiches. they are there for you. We have another session planned in the afternoon. When is that, Gaurahari? At 3 o'clock. At 2 o'clock here, where questions and answers it's a question and answer session. I know that I really know each single one of you in the room, and during such festivals, there's a little opportunity to speak with every one of you. So we have therefore put this question and answer session where you can ask your questions in a somewhat public forum. Of course, not all questions can be asked in such a forum, but those who can, and then I will try my best to individually respond to things which are on your mind. Good. So, it went by so fast, isn't it? I woke up this morning and said, in the beginning I thought this will never end. I was not, because when there are so many people, it's not a problem. I come alive when there are 20,000 people before me, I found out. But then if I have to talk to 20,000, this is different. Good, so let us start. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Deyada Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna. Can you please hint to Nityananda to put the violin louder? Violin louder. Gopi Gana Vallabha Giri Vara My dear devotees, please try to sing a little louder. From your sound, I can hear that you're not yet totally here. I understand you, it was a long night, but you can do a little better. Deya Radha Madhava Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Kaskatyari Satarine Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Mate Gati Matsarvasva Padamburu Radha Madana Mohano Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita so many of you still stayed, and I must say, when preparing for this last class, I imagined myself to be in your shoes or in your situation, and I remembered, or my own relationship to my spiritual master. As I told you in the first welcoming lecture, that there should be a question in the heart of every sincere disciple that should never die, it should never stop. That is, what is my next step? The reason for this question is that this relationship is there for a very particular purpose. The particular purpose is there that we are together on a journey. As you would know, there are various spiritual masters which Prabhupada has identified, and I would like to add to it. Prabhupada said there's a spiritual master who's both feet in the spiritual world and who extends his hands in the material world. Then there is the spiritual master who has one foot still in the material world, and he has another foot in the spiritual world, and he is even more with us. I imagine him to be like someone who has one foot on one part of the bank of a little rivulet, in German you would say Bach, ein Bächlein, and he has another foot on the other side, and then he helps us to come over. He like this. So there's one. And I would say, and then there's me. I have both feet in the material world, but I really, really look towards the spiritual world, and I really want to go there. And I have been fascinated. And I have a spiritual master who has both feet in the spiritual world, and somehow I'm trying to hold on to him. I will never forget to tell you that I consider myself a helper, a facilitator, and on the journey, I never say I'm very realized in spiritual life, I'm not. But I have a wonderful spiritual master who's very kind, even to a person like me. He can work miracles. That is my deep conviction. So yes, I imagined myself to be in your situation, and I have given you my message that this meeting is because we are on a journey, and I think I can help you on your journey. I sincerely think so, and therefore I give messages to you. Please consider your next steps, because journey means to take steps, and we are on a most exciting journey, the most wonderful journey which there is, and we need to stop moving, not stop moving, keep on moving, I wanted to say, like a person who takes step after step after step. Another thing I wanted to talk today is, how can we take our relationship to the next level? I'm very, very skeptical of modern advancement, but I like one thing very much, that is this little thing there on the tripod through a live stream and a video recording instrument so that the message which I will give now can reach the ears of many of my disciples, also those who could not come to this, especially those who could not come to the festival due to various external and internal reasons. Therefore, I'm happy that I can reach also these devotees through the help of modern technology. I have entitled this lecture Taking the Guru-Disciple Relationship to the Next Level. And I wrote next to it in brackets for me, stop being a divided self. What that means you will find out in a little while. I was thinking that we all, when we come to such a festival and we get some good inspirations that touch our hearts and with some joy and some good insights, then we want to know, okay, you spoke of the next step, we should always take a next step, but what could be the next level in your eyes? It's not easy to answer such a question because you are all different, but I can say something in principle which I think will help you very much. Something which I felt Prabhupada was teaching us as his disciples. He wanted us to take more responsibility. Responsibility for our own life and responsibility also for our devotional services which we do. And say that this is where I do something which is my full responsibility. Now to take on more responsibility, you need inside a strength, a taste. You need to be happy in your spiritual life. It shouldn't be a struggle. You need to feel, yes, I'm nourished. And there's a wonderful shloka which I wanted to read to you at the beginning of this last address. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's a verse from the third canto, chapter 7, text 19. Yatsevaya Bhagavata Kutastasya madu dvisha ratiraso pavettivra parayo vyasanadana. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon and whose service vanquishes one's material distress. And there are two points here which I would like to bring to your attention. This service should be some joyful service. By serving the spiritual master, it says here, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy. Now this relates both to ruchi, taste, and it relates also to the highest levels of bhava and prema bhakti. And then as a result of this, one becomes free of material miseries. And Prabhupada writes here, the association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. So, this can help us, this relationship, to develop attachment to service. And then it says, the attachment to the material world is automatically vanquished by this. It's a purport you might like to read on your own, but because I want to talk only about one little aspect of the verse, I will not read here the entire purport, but will come to my subject. See, maybe our greatest difficulty on the level where most of us are is that one part of us really appreciates Krishna consciousness, really appreciates the temple for 3 or at most 4 days. But there is another part in us who has all these attachments. We do not like to speak in public about it, at least not in this circle. We are what is called in literature a divided self, you know. One thing goes to the West, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and the other wants to go to the East. And we seem to be stuck in the middle. We don't move very much to the West, and also not very much to the East. That is, we don't move very much to the material life, which is a little insignificant, our material life. And we don't really move towards the spiritual life. We are what the American says, in limbo, somewhere in between. In betwixt and between the two, and that's a problem. That causes all of our sufferings, all of our unrest. So I want to give you a tip, which I received. There was a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and somehow I got the tape and. It's somewhere, I don't know where this tape is, but I've played it very often that I know it by heart. It was a conversation where Prabhupada addressed devotees who were in this in-between situation, and they thought, Krishna consciousness doesn't work for me. I'm not moving forward. I have now made a decision. I'm going back to my material life. You know, they thought, I'm not advancing in spiritual life and not in material life. This is nothing. So they decided for the material life. And Prabhupada had one last meeting with them. They wanted to say goodbye. They had some dignity in their heart to come and say goodbye at least. And yes, and Prabhupada said to them, why do you want to go? And then they explained, and then Prabhupada said, no, you have just, he seemed to have in his heart that the observation that they had just not found their place in Krishna consciousness. So he said, you please go before the temple, in the temple before the deities, and you chant and you pray, and Krishna will give you an indication. And then the devotee, I heard this distressed voice, but Prabhupada, in your temples there is no peace. If we sit before the temple, before the deities, the temple commander will come and engage me. Mm. Now our temples are more sensitive to this need, so you can sit before the deities here in Goloka Dham. Bhakta Yorun, who has very strong muscles, will not pull you out of the temple room. He will respect that. But in the old times, after the morning program, there was service for everyone. So there was no time to well, so much time for personal introspection. And there was also, if you needed it, you could say it, but this was unusual. So yes, Prabhupada had faith that if someone would really pray and sit, he would get an inspiration from Krishna. And this theme he explained much later in 1973 in Calcutta. And I must say, this, what I will read now, will be the guideline which we have to follow throughout the class. No, I have seen in my disciples, because they are still divided selves, they lose their enthusiasm, they lose their life. They lose their happiness. They all look, also the oldest look all a little old and gray, and they do things with willpower and so on. And because they have understood, and they are pious souls, they should do this. I have many old disciples who are really inspired and inspiring. I'm just speaking about those who are still divided selves. Prabhupada said, if you have lost your enthusiasm, sit down in any temple that is suitable. I find this very important. He says not every temple will do it for you. It must be a suitable environment. Suitable, do you understand this English word? It must be appropriate. It must be just right for you in this situation. Sit down, stop everything, and chant Hare Krishna. He says there is no question of being disappointed. No time for losers, no? No question of being disappointed. After all, he says, human nature means that we make mistakes. To err is human. That is not a fault, no problem. But try to rectify it with a cool head. And then he gives an analogy, and I find this analogy tells everything. When something has dropped into the water of a pond, you will not be able to see it or fetch it, get it back, by grabbing it to the water and agitating the water even more. No, just stand still for some time and wait. As soon as the mud has settled, you will see things as they are. My dear devotees, this simple advice will make it very clear to you. When you lose your enthusiasm, one reason could be that you're still a divided self, but there could be also other things like disappointment in the journey, that something happened to you on your path where you really thought this is too much, and it could also have happened by an unfortunate encounter with a devotee, even that a devotee disappointed you. Then we tend to be very agitated, our thoughts go, and our emotions go, and our storm in the teapot of our head, and of course everything is in movement. It's like a little pond where there is storm and where the mud comes up and you can't see clearly what is on the bottom. Like maybe you lost your pair of cartels and you can't see it. Wait. Go to any temple suitable. It could also mean to go to Vrindavan. It could mean to do what I did when I was very much disturbed. I went to Mountain Kailash in Tibet. Yes, I thought I must, I'm a little bit like this. So here is Lord Shiva. Shiva is as brought through his glance, I have been transported in the material world. He should look, glance me out, you know. I'm now in trouble, and I went there. I have this faith from the Bhagavatam, and so on. So yes, Krishna, any temple suitable, any sacred place suitable. For some who are in the beginning of our spiritual nature, it could be a place in nature where we feel absolutely me. You know, I can be here, I feel safe, I feel, a fresh breeze is, I can now think about what is essential in my life, who I really am, what is my real mission, what I really need, what I don't need any longer in my life. No, we can come to the essence and so on. And only from this position, where we slowly get back our spiritual strengths, you know, where the mud, so to say, this which floats around in our head, settles, it means comes to the ground. No? Our thoughts become clear like crystal clear water again. You will see after some time there will be something coming from the ground. There will be from your soul, there will be some light coming if you pray to Krishna. There will be some answer, something will come through because you are a spiritual person. You are not materialistic people. You have already more than you think, but you forget it very often because you're not in contact with this divine investment which has been given to you. So sit down in any temple suitable. Prabhupada's language is just so endearing and so sympathetic because he doesn't care so much about grammar, but he cares about essence when he talks. I have edited slightly. I mean, I've not edited it. I have just read it in the way he speaks it, very clear. When our mind is settled and the agitation of all the I must do this or I should do this has come down, you will find out what you really want. Now, I would like to caution you because we will soon make a little exercise. Guide you in something. Sometimes, for some of us, to be alone is something we must revisit. To be alone can also mean, for some of us, to be in the association of good devotees. How is this alone, please? Being in the... If you meet with good devotees and you have a discussion with them, therefore Prabhupada says, go to a temple which is suitable, no, where you meet such people. And you go there and you will... It will be easier for you to go quickly deep inside. It can be, if you are alone, you feel lonely. Oh, sorry, I don't want to sing you a song about this. And then kicks in, I'm just saying what can happen, your ordinary thought patterns, you know, the thoughts which are not you, which have come to you by a process of very, very systematic material conditioning. It has started from a childhood, and these are strange, these thoughts are strangers, and therefore, from the spiritual perspective, they are strange. They don't belong to you. They are just patterns. In Deutsch sagen wir Gedankenmuster, die üblichen Gedankenmustern. I don't know how to say it in English. The ordinary noise in the head, you know. So you need to know when you need devotee sangha to come down and come to any temple suitable where you have good devotees, or when you need also your time alone. There is a ration, alone means now, you know, in the normal way we use the word alone. There are very important points which speak at different times for both versions. I know a devotee, it's a devotee, one of the devotees in my teams, when he needs to digest something, he needs to make a walk. Not with many people, only with him and the birds. I know the same devotee that at times a walk won't do it. He needs to go to a place where he finds friends who are the same age group, who are giving him inputs and good thoughts, which would be difficult for him to develop when he is on his own. I think most of us are a little bit like this, no? We need both in our lives. So, and you need to take the responsibility to decide, when do I need a suitable temple with devotees, or when do I need a suitable walk in the nature where I'm alone or by myself, you know. We have devotees from London. You have so many churches in London which are not visited. I have already identified three which I would go to, and I'm only a tourist in London. And you can go just sit on a bench. No one will disturb you due to the problem in the Christian church. Not enough visitors. You know, by yourself, that's the idea. Why do I say this? We talk about enthusiasm and maintaining our enthusiasm, our glowing yes for on our spiritual path. This is why we talk about it. I would now turn to a very amazing disciple. I'm blessed with many, many, many amazing disciples, but I will turn now to Mangala. Mangala is an amazing example of someone who found her way in spiritual life. She is a doctor in psychology, and believe it or not, she was the first person on this planet Earth who brought the concept of the three gunas and Atma into the academic discourse. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but she made her, is it PhD, on the three guna model, which is Anyways, I don't want to get into this. It could take days to explain it. So, and she now she is working as a coach, and she has opened her YouTube channel. Yesterday, I met a fan. Ich liebe Mangalas Kanal, she said. You know, it's a YouTube channel. I do not know if you want to look into it. She gives academically proved, you know, there are many self-help people, but this is a PhD, and she will only talk what is academically absolutely acceptable, you know, this exact thing. And she addressed a question, how to reach your spiritual, your goal. It's for every goal, but she's a good devotee. She does everything and more. So she always has devotees also in her mind. So I listened to this and I found there are good points, nicely explained and briefly explained, that I want to use for my lecture. So for this, I can't take all the credit. I give it to the Mangala and the Mangala Kanal channel. But I have structured it differently, what she said. So the first thing I want to say, if you want to find your essence, which makes you enthusiastic, which has fallen on the ground, you must sit down and identify a true wish in you in relationship to Krishna consciousness. Something you come alive with. Something where you wake up, oh yeah, this is a reason to get out of this comfortable bed. You need to ask, what do I really want to do for Krishna? I need to say it differently. Do you need to ask yourself, after you think you have identified your wish, is this really what I do really want? Or do I think I should want it to be a good person? And get also my initiation, or get also my thing. Is it what I really want, or is it what I think I should want? And now you need to be really, really, really intelligent. Just to want something which is good will never work. I will say it in the language of Mangala. She speaks a little bit the self-help language. Find out how to turn your wish into something which is concrete and doable. Otherwise, it remains a wish. I would like to give you an example from my life, which makes it very clear. I began to suffer maybe 17 years it started, with terrible back pains, really terrible back pains. You will never find me lying in bed, for sleeping, yes, but not for illness. I just don't like to be, even when I'm ill, I sit up. I want to die when I stand, not when I lie. I am like this. What to do? My grandfather was like that also. He died when he was walking. Different style. But I had such back pain that I needed to stay in bed, and I couldn't come out of bed. Not possible. So I had a wish. I want to have an athletic back, like Rory, the sportsman. But that was a far goal. I had my service is to sit and talk, or to sit and write, or to sit and drive in a car or fly in an airplane. I'm sitting all the time if I don't be careful. So I had this wish, I need to get out of bed, I need to do service again. That's me, I can't, this is boring to be in bed. Yeah, then you have read so many books in bed, but then you want to do service. So I needed now to find out how to turn my wish into something concrete. And my latest is, because I still, if I don't exercise daily, I will have back problems. But if I exercise daily, I'm very fine. I can do everything and anything with this body. So one devotee gave me a Pilates training ring, because the devotee understood he needs to do exercises, but he's bored with his old exercises. He gets bored so quickly. So let's give him a new toy, a Pilates exercise ring. I never saw an exercise ring, and I was highly curious, how do you exercise with such a thing? Then I learned the exercises. It's a little, you need to use your intelligence to use it properly, and your imagination and your creativity. And to this day, my dear devotees, I do every morning, right when I come from, when I'm dressed after the shower, 7 minutes of Pilates back training. And it works wonders. I am free from pain. I don't even think about the back. Well, sometimes I think, but not very much. It's my weakest spot in this body. But, you know, my wish to have a good back was not enough. I needed to say, starting from tomorrow, I do this and this exercise for so and so much time, and I need to do it at this time. Then I got, then now I'm in good back thing. So our wish is something very vague, and it will never, I wish I would be Krishna consciousness. I wish I would chant better rounds. I wish I would read more. I wish I would get up earlier, more early for bed. Forget it, you will never do it like this. But for instance, I wish I would be more Krishna conscious. Translate it. I will, one time a week, I will go to this temple and I will chant my rounds before the deities. Wow! That's something else, no? It's something doable. And from this, you will get purification of the heart, and so many new things come. I wish I would be more healthy and not so fat. Look at me, what happened to me after 20 years of Krishna consciousness. It's an embarrassment to the human race. Okay, you wish you would be more healthy then? Good. Then translate it. I will do 20 sit-ups. They kill you when you are not practiced, and 20 push-ups. I will do this. It takes only 3.5 minutes. I wish I could have better relationships. Well, turn it into something which works for you. I will invite so-and-so Prabhu, and I will make a nature walk. And in this nature walk, we will discuss a good point which is on my heart. I will invest in this relationship. Oh, I wish I could be more relaxed. You know, I want to cover all the desires which I have. Many of you have not just spiritual desires, but these more relaxed. Starting from tomorrow, I will buy myself a breathing application. It costs only £3.50, I learned. And I will breathe with this breathing application, because breath makes the mind and all the pranas relaxed and functioning if you do it properly. I will do pranayama. Prabhupada said pranayama is good for purifying the mind. It has not just physical exercise. Oh, I wish I would be less tired. I'm always so tired. Starting from tomorrow, I will be in bed before 10 o'clock. Wow, revolution for me. And even on Saturday, I will go to bed not later than 10:30. Yeah. My dear devotees, we Vaishnavas have a beautiful thing. We have sankalpas, that is, things which we do and which we, where we take a sankalpa, I will do such and such. One of the sankalpas is, there also is for a vrata, a vow. And one vow which is very dear to many of us here in the room is, well, I should ask, do you have a vow? No, I'm asking you, what? Chanting, yeah. Maybe it's it's not clear the question. Kartik Vrata, no. It comes every Kartik, and then, oops, the internet is full with Kartik inspirations. Then I also have to do something. Then we commit ourselves very concretely, you know, do you remember? I will chant every day so and so many rounds. I will commit myself to offer a lamp to Lord Damodar in the evening. I will eat less sweets. For some of us, this is very important. I will... What? What do you do? I will read Bhagavatam every month. And we do it because it's the Kartik month, it's the Kartik Vrata, there's an everyday Kartik inspiration. My God, I better do it. And then, after doing this for a month, don't you feel different? You feel spiritual life is more real for you. And this is the benefit of turning a wish, I wish I would be more spiritual, into something very concrete, the month of Kartik. It's known in any bona fide spiritual tradition. Wishes are not enough. You need to concretely do it. And it's done in our tradition by Kartik Vrata. There are many other things which you can do in our tradition. No? So this, my dear devotees, is how you make the change from a wish and wishful thinking into something which is really very, very important for you. And I think in taking the next step in the guru-disciple relationship, bringing it to the next level, what is the title here? Taking the guru-disciple relationship to the next level. It means really sit down, that the mud settles, and that you can see your spiritual enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness and also this relationship, of course. Then identify a true wish. Ask yourself the question, is this really what I wish, or do I think I should wish this, you know? Then turn your wish into something which you really experience by making a practice out of it that you do. Be careful, don't try to do too much. I always have to say this after japa, after, what is it called? Living name retreats or holy name retreats, you know, I tell them, now I know you're all fired up, but I warn you, those of you who chanted with, came here with very regular, irregular chanting habits, don't set up your mind and say, from after the retreat, I will do every day 64 rounds. I have understood it. Tell yourself, I will every day do 4 rounds. Every day. And then work yourself up to 16 rounds. That I always tell them, I don't care. It's not me to care for this, that you need to care for this, but you do something regularly, and then you, that you like to do, that you can do, and then you will feel the strength of this taking you up and doing wonderful things. I learned this, the difficult path, because I'm a very stubborn person. You know, every Kartik month I chant extra rounds, and it was 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know, where I couldn't finish my quota. Somehow I was too tired, too exhausted, too weak, too many thoughts in that mind, and I could not do it. And I became very sad. I had done this now since 25 years or so, and this was, I didn't want to be a failure in my Krishna conscious practice, but I just couldn't do it. And then I understood, I'm doing this with the wrong motivation. I'm doing it because I think I should finish my quota, because I've done it every year, and I'm giving holy name retreats. I must be credible. I must like the chanting myself. I did it from the level of I should and I must. And I couldn't continue with my willpower, because now I'm a little older than when I was 18 years. So then I understood, I must get away from this, I should and I must. And I said, I don't count my rounds any longer. It's so much beyond 16 rounds, you know. 16 rounds, you know, those who have given vows should count. But I'm not counting any longer. And then for 1 week I chanted, and I knew I was chanting significantly less than my Kartik quota is. And I thought, will this ever change? Will this work? But I stayed on the platform. Let me chant when I can chant, when I like to chant, when it flows and so on. And then, after some time, I got some strength and I chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You should have seen me, I was flying in the air, levitating. and then the chanting was, then I started to count again, and it was easily beyond my quota. Because I chanted from here, from finding my lost item, finding my lost enthusiasm. And that made all the difference. I think this will make all the difference in your guru-disciple relationship, but also in your Krishna consciousness. Let us not forget, the guru-disciple relationship is much more than only a personal relationship, personal friendship, and so on. Although some of us still see it like that, it's much more. There is much more available here in this area. Ultimately, Krishna can manifest himself very easily. An intelligent person should therefore reject bad association. Those who are intelligent should not have bad association, and instead, he should take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's own mind. This is from the 11th canto, Krishna talking to Uddhava. And this enter into this space of guru-disciple relationship, which is a sacred space, because we associate there in with Krishna, only Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in the center, and the next steps and so on. And we have Prabhupada and the Sampradaya in there. Binding yourself to only one person would not be good for your spiritual life. It would become a personality cult, and we will miss the whole point of this difficult to understand relationship. That is what I wanted to say to you. Was it clear?
Yes.
What could be some takeaways from this lecture? I'm asking you. Yes, Prabhupada.
You really have the wishes and the things you want to do, you need to bring it into very tangible and concrete next steps.
Yeah, Jayagopal is saying, thank you, you understood very nicely. The wishes which you want to do, you need to bring that out of that vague cloud, the iCloud of wishes. And you need to download it, the tune. Ah, I know. I'm just talking modern language. It's so wish, so vague, and a cloud of wishes. You need to now bring it into something you can do. And why? And the thing is, these things have power in them when you do the right things. Sattvic power, for instance, is in exercises and in eating proper diet. There's a mode of sattva gun, which conquers rajas and tamas in your life. And spiritual activities have the spiritual power in them that uplift you. That's why we do this. That is a takeaway. Yes, Vishwadeva Prabhu?
About the next step on our journey, would you say everybody has a mission?
Would you, Vishwadeva Prabhu, he is the good angel with Gaurahari. We have many good angels in Golokadam here. I asked this question about the next steps. Do you think everyone has a mission? I would say it like this. Everyone has something they are good in. And if you concentrate on what you are good in, then that becomes your mission. What I want to say, every human or everyone has some talent, something. You, Gokrishna, you won't mind that I give you an example. I won't give an uncomfortable example. Gokrishna is not Mr. Practical, like, for instance, Frank. Frank is Mr. Practical. You can ask anything to Frank. He will make it possible, I think, just by looking at it. He has the practical Shakti in the eyes. But Gaur Krishna is good in chanting kirtans. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
He can sing very nicely, you know. I know why he is good, but I would embarrass him if I tell it in the public. So Bhakta Frank, I don't think is so good in harmonium playing and singing. Not that good, yes. So should Gaur Krishna try to do what Bhakta Frank is good, to build everything, to repair everything, to take care of everything, to technical? No. He has a talent, and he should invest in that talent and then make a mission out of it, like teaching kirtan to the world, bringing kirtan to the world. So I think we and this comes back to my approach. When you are doing what you're good in, you like to do that. And there is, for everyone, there's something that they are good in. So everyone has something. And even if it is sweeping the street. I was once in Atlanta, and I read that there was a Martin Luther King exhibition in the airport. So I had a little time before my connecting flight. And I said, let me know about Martin Luther King. I heard he was a good man. And I read one quote. He said, I want to see a man. You know, the way they talk, I want to see a man. You know, in America they talk like this, you know, very, very strong voice, you know. The text was there, then the strong voice was there. Using his talent that God gave him. And I want to see a street sweeper sweeping the street like a directing a symphonic orchestra. Have I said it? Could you understand? No. I want to see a person using his what God gave him, the talent. So let the man who knows how to sweep the street do it as if he directs a symphonic orchestra, you know, with elegance, with joy, with being fully there. The problem which we also have, we compare ourselves with others. If Gokrishna would compare himself with Frank and try to do the practical things with Frank does, he would need to phone Frank every 30 seconds, you know, and ask for directions. It wouldn't work. So yes, I think in that sense everyone has a mission. Not everyone may have the mission in the way it is understood that I take over the world in 18 days, that's my mission, or not everyone has this. But a small mission, a small talent, everyone has, and he should just see that he combines himself with other people who do something good in this world, if he is not a leader by definition. Is that answering the question a little? Good. I thought to make it practical, you know, that everyone has something they are good in. Hari Shyam.
Guru Maharaj, the Acharyas explained that one of the stumbling blocks for a bhakta is apathy. Yeah. And when I was listening to your lecture, I was looking at my own life and I was thinking that, you know, I've somehow found a balance between material desires and spiritual practice, and I feel comfortable. You know, I just feel comfortable with where I'm at. You know, I'm comfortable knowing that I have material desires and I do my chanting and reading and I have my service, but somehow I want to break free from apathy. There's no reason for me to not advance more and work more for Krishna. But there's no desire either.
Yeah.
And I wonder how to break free from comfort and apathy, actually.
Yeah, you know, since we are in a group of people who know each other, I don't think you suffer from apathy. You are a very driven person. I was with you and I studied you very carefully for 1 month when you were our cook. There was no apathy visible. Yes, but the desire to advance is there, and it is good. Yeah. I will give an answer so that you're not worried. You know, let us say, yes, we have apathy. Let us address this. Someone, and at times we suffer from apathy, not generally, but at times it comes. Apathy, I can only say, well, maybe I should not try to, you know, just being in tamagun, you know. Or we feel our spiritual life has become very lax. Lax? Do you understand this word? Lax? So, schlottrig, sagt man in Deutsch. Mein spirituelles Leben ist schlottrig. you have to go, Vedi Madhava and Nityananda Gaur. Okay. I understand. Then, what is recommended in our scriptures is go into the association of persons who are spiritually motivated, and something will come to you. That's why we so much like Sangha. That is, if you want success, you need to go into the association of those who are successful in your field, in the field which you want to have. That's an, everyone knows this. So in devotional life, we go really to devotees, but not devotees who are apathetic or who are lazy, but devotees who are, operate on a different level, on the level which we would like to come to. And then you feel, oh my God, I can't do this now. I know if I will go to Chopati temple, I will rise every morning at 4:30 because everyone does it there. You know, this is an example. Or don't we feel this when we come to a festival like this one? We hear so many things, and some of them sound right even for us. And then we feel, well, let me do this, no? It works like this. Association has that that nature. Not any association, it must be like-minded association. Very important. You can go to the devotees and meet a circle of people who say secretly do this and that. I don't want to give examples. You know, you can, everything is available for the soul in this world. So a like-minded devotee association, and if you can find, it's good if they are a little more advanced than you, so that they can give an example and a prospect, it's called in Deutsch, Ausblick, to another level, another dimension. Yeah. All right, I can't see you in the back, but it must be the wife of Yogesh, maybe?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I also have a name, Renu.
Renu.
Just building on the point, what if those elevated devotees, the ones that you look up to, inevitably they're always busy, and finding an opportunity to talk to them for somebody like me is not easy.
What if the elevated devotees you look up to are always busy, and to find an opportunity to talk to them is not always easy? See, I'm a nectar hunter by profession. I like to go for the nectar and find nectar. And I know if I can't get a book in one direction, from one, you know, I like new books always, Krishna conscious books. Like now I have one book which I want to get, and I didn't get it through conventional sources, that is the BBL of Bhaktivedanta Library Service in Radhadesh. They have almost, now I will go through another way and get the book. So when you don't reach your goal, through one way, and there are innumerable ways. If ever you are interested in nectar, and I could give you tips you wouldn't believe how to get to the nectar. It's, some of them are not to be mentioned in public. Thieves don't give their give away their ways. You know, one. I heard now a thief, when the door is locked, he can, there's a way to blow on the door. Then you can open every door. There are unconventional ways in order to get in. So if you can't get what you in one direction, listen to tapes. asked other devotees. It doesn't always need to be the most elevated person who is very busy. There are many devotees who know the answers to your questions. Enrich your understanding of Krishna consciousness in many ways. When you don't get the nectar in one way, get it in another way. That's the first rule for the nectar hunter. Hare Krishna. There are 64 rules for the nectar. It's a complex art. I can't say I know them all, but I know some. Good, my dear devotees. There is opportunity for more questions and answers later in the day. Maybe Gaurahari, you will. Maybe you see something has appeared in the decoration. There's something new. It's a box. It's not full of sweets. It's a box which waits for your question. You can drop your question in the box. And then we have a quick question and answer session. But before you all go, I will ask Akash to stand there at the door. I have, by Mitravinda's and Rupanuga's mercy, I have water from Nitai's actual birthplace where he took his bath. And anyone who has not yet developed the highest levels of Krishna consciousness, this is your last chance, the water. He died. Water, you understand, carries information? No? Do we know this from Hemopati? So therefore, there's so much talk about sacred water in our tradition, Yamuna, Ganga. Yamuna, Radha and Krishna have bathed in the Yamuna. Ganga, oh Ganga and Mata. And here, Lord Nityananda has bathed in this water. I don't feel the same any longer. But it's really ecstatic. So Akash will be, as you exit, he will spray this on your head. And leave a little, Akash, just a little for me, then I will dilute it, and the more homeopathic it becomes, the more. not everything, isn't it? A few drops need to stay. So he will wait there until Gaurahari is here. Yes, he will just give us an orientation. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening. Hare Bol. Thank you.